that's okay, sir?
Yes.
And before we get started, what is your name, sir?
William Lynch.
Thank you so much, Honorable Mr. Lynch, and I believe that the Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse will conduct her hearing at this time, so just hang on to the phone, sir.
Okay.
Now, Mr. Lynch?
Yes.
Could you please state your full name and your ADC number for the record?
William Glenn Lynch, 255-926.
Thank you, sir. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing concerning the one allegation that's on your warrant. You were notified about this hearing. You signed a form, and on that form is a list of your hearing rights. Now, do you remember signing that form, sir? It's the one that said the hearing would be held today.
Yes, I do.
Okay, and your hearing rights, one of your rights is that you could hire an attorney to represent you, or you can represent yourself. So did you hire an attorney today, sir, or will you represent yourself?
I'll represent myself, ma'am.
Okay, thank you. I'd like to introduce you to the members of the board. If you look on the video screen to your right, to my left, at the far end is the Honorable Louis Quinones. Next to him, the Honorable David Neal. Right next to me here in the middle is our board chairman, the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright. Over on my other side here is the Honorable Michael Johnson. My name is Gail Rittenhouse. I'll conduct your hearing. We also have in the room with us today the Honorable Mr. Turner. There he is now on the screen, from the Department of Corrections, and he will represent the department and your parole officer in the hearing today. So before we start, I need to swear both of you in. So Mr. Lynch and Mr. Turner, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm? Mr. Lynch?
Yes.
And Mr. Turner?
I do.
Thank you. Mr. Lynch, your hearing will be conducted in two phases, with phase one to determine if you violated the terms and conditions of community supervision, and then phase two to determine if your supervision should be reinstated or revoked. So for phase one, I'm going to read this allegation to you, and I'll need you to respond whether it's true or false. So we'll start phase one, and the allegation is that you were in violation of condition number three, as demonstrated by your act of changing your place of residence at 2865 South Quinn Drive in Tucson on or about October 3rd, 2018, without the prior approval of your assigned parole officer. Your whereabouts were unknown unless you were an absconder from supervision. Mr. Lynch, is that true or false?
It's true. Can I say anything else?
In phase two, you'll be able to explain anything you want to explain.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm going to mark that one as true, and then I'm going to say make a motion to pass us to phase two. So based on Mr. Lynch's admission, then I'm moved to find him delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of supervision and may have lapsed or had lapsed in a criminal ways or company. Second.
Agreed.
Okay, motion by myself, second, and Mr. Johnson. Agreed, Dr. Wright, Mr. Neal, Mr. Quinones. Okay, now, Mr. Lynch, we'll move to phase two of your hearing. And before we get too far into phase two, I'm going to ask Mr. Turner to give us all some background information. So just stay on the line, and we'll be right back, and you can talk to the board in detail with whatever you want to tell us. Mr. Turner.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. Lynch was released from ADC custody on 5/11/2018 and arrested on 12/3/2018 by the Tucson PD. No new charges are noted. He's returned back to ADC custody on 12/3/2018. With an adjusted CSCD of 2/8/2019 with 61 abscondes. Current conviction, 2016, commitment C, count one, dangerous drug violation, 2 years, 6 months. 2016, commitment C, count two, misconduct involving weapons, 2 years, 6 months. Prior convictions, 2010, theft means of transportation, 3 years, 6 months. 2013, commitment B, count one, dangerous drug violation, 1 year, 6 months. 2013, commitment B, count three, misconduct involving weapons, 1 year, 6 months. This is his third term in ADC with a CUIR score of 3.3, mental health score of 2, substance abuse score of 3. No STG information is noted. Prior terms of supervision, 2013, TIS release completed, 7 months. 2015, TIS release, absconded 8 days, arrested, reached CSCD in custody. Disciplinary is moderate with drugs, violence, promoting contraband, and conspiracy noted. Other arrest, 1994, child/adult abuse, Wisconsin, misdemeanor conviction, probation. 1995, child neglect, Wisconsin, misdemeanor conviction, probation. 1995, child adult abuse, Wisconsin, misdemeanor conviction, probation. 2000, domestic violence, Arizona, misdemeanor conviction, probation. 2000, domestic violence, Arizona, misdemeanor conviction, probation. 2002, narcotic drug violation, Arizona, felony conviction, probation. 2003, domestic violence, Arizona, misdemeanor conviction, probation. 2003, domestic violence, Arizona, misdemeanor conviction, probation. Is a GV score of G3, V4.
Thank you, Mr. Turner. Okay, Mr. Lynch, we have a brief written summary of what occurred while you were on supervision. And it indicates that you were, that address that I gave earlier was the address of your mother, Kathleen Lynch, at 2865 South Quinn. Is that where you stayed the whole time that you were out?
Except for the last like month and a half, 2 months, something like that.
Okay, and where did you live during those 2 months?
I went to CBI. It's a rehabilitation. It's like a rehab, and that's where I got the absconding.
Okay, so you went to CBI. Did you parole officer arrange that, or?
No, I did that on my own. However, I did call, and I let her know that I was going there.
Okay, so she possibly knew about it, and then you were you at CBI the rest of the time then?
I was not. I had just gotten out maybe 2 days prior to that. I think it was December 1st I had completed.
Okay, and is that like the 90-day program, or what, or 60-day?
No, it was a 30-day, but they let me stay for an additional two weeks.
Okay.
To rent it.
Okay, so 30 days plus about 2 weeks.
Correct.
Okay, and then you got released, and where did you go then?
I'm not sure the exact address, but it was Stella and Wilmot. It was called Wilmot Vista Apartments. I went to a friend's apartment.
Okay, so...
I'm trying to get my stuff.
Okay, with a friend's apartment. Okay. And were you working, sir, while you were out?
I was, yes.
Okay, and what kind of work were you doing?
It's the labor company's Point Road, and they were out of Atlanta, Georgia, and it was basically online work. It's similar to Amazon.
Oh, okay. Okay, so it says here that you worked with at your brother's business in July.
I did until I think. Probably until the beginning of August.
Okay, the beginning of August. So just kind of for about a month maybe? Because it says it was July 19th that you started there.
No, actually I started there right when I got out.
Okay. Okay.
Like May 12th, the day after I got released.
And what kind of work were you doing there?
It kind of varied. I just basically ran the shop. It's a used car dealership.
Oh, okay. So like office management maybe? Or?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Okay. All right. And you were also responsible to turn in some urines. And you had, it looks like when you started out, you had a negative in July, the beginning of July. And then at the end of July, you had a fail to test, but the next day you went in, it was negative. Did you just forget to go in or forget to call or what happened?
No, at that time they were switching over how they were doing the drops through task. It used to be a color program.
Right.
They switched it to like a texting app.
Uh-huh.
And I was getting cross things like when they would, on the texting app, it was telling me that I didn't have to drop. So then I had to start calling the number. And when I called the number, basically, long story short, the number would tell me to drop, the texting app would tell me not to drop.
Okay.
Let my parole officer know, and then she had told me from then on to start calling.
Okay.
And that was after, geez, I don't know, I had missed maybe like, I guess, 6 drops or something.
Right, because it's showing in August on the 21st, 29th, and then September 5th, it says you failed the test. Then on the 20th of September, you were negative. And then there's 3 more at the beginning of October, the 3rd, the 5th, and the 9th that you failed the test. Were those because of the problem with calling in, or had you relapsed at that point?
Well, in October, I was in, October, November, no, I don't think I was in there yet. I think I relapsed.
You had relapsed in October?
Correct.
Okay, and what drug, sir, what drug did you use?
Methamphetamine.
Okay. And have you used any other drugs or just that?
Well, I did use marijuana, but I have a medical marijuana card.
Okay, and did your parole officer get that all approved?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so that's all approved with your PO. Okay. All right, and it looks like you had enrolled in at Camino Nuevo Counseling?
Correct.
Was that part of CBI or something else?
No, something else. It was more of a self-help, group.
Okay, and how did you like that? That was the middle of July.
I did like it, and I was learning some things. Just things kind of fell apart with, my personal and my family and that.
Did you have some problems in particular that made you move out of your mother's house, or?
I confronted my sister about something, and she kicked me out.
Okay. All right. And were there drugs in your home, or was
no?
No, it was drug free there. Okay.
At that time, I hadn't even relapsed or anything. I hadn't used any drugs. All of my jobs that I had done were good, and I hadn't used any drugs. I was working pretty much 10 hours a day, every single day, except for Sunday.
Was there something that drove you to relapse in particular, some event, or?
Honestly, as weird as it sounds, for the first time, I was actually really doing good, doing everything I should. I got my driver's license after 23 years of not having a driver's license. And driving without them. I've been staying working and doing good, and my sister couldn't accept that fact that I was doing what I should be doing, and just kept getting my brother and my mother's ear, saying that I wasn't, doing what I should be. So I confronted her on it.
Okay, all right. So what were you doing when the Tucson PD picked you up?
Actually, I was just about to walk down to Panda Express and get something to eat.
Okay, so you were just walking along, and did they have a particular reason to stop, or they just...
I think maybe the gentleman that was with me, I believe, might have been wanted or something, I'm not sure.
Oh, okay. So you just happened to be there, and they checked your ID. So why did you lose touch with your parole officer? Because I see in your past you've had a period of supervision where you also absconded, so you knew the consequence of not staying in touch. Why did you break off communication?
When I got to CBI, they wouldn't allow me to use the phones or anything, or to call or anything. I did let my parole officer know ahead of time, before I went in, that I was going to be going into the rehab. I gave her the name, as well as the name of, I'm not sure if he was the director or exactly who he was, but the gentleman that I was dealing with who got me set up into the rehab. And once I got out, I had tried to locate my belongings, what little things that I had, and I just hadn't made it to, check in. I was like a week, a few days from being done with parole, as I thought.
Right.
And I didn't make it in time, I guess.
Okay. So did you have a good relationship with your parole officer?
I believe I did.
Oh, okay. All right. Hold on just a second. I'm going to check with Mr. Turner and ask, is there any indication in the file that Mr. Lynch contacted this parole officer?
No, ma'am. There is no documentation that he contacted her after he absconded. The last contact that I see was on 10-5 when she directed him to drop a UA, which he failed to do so, after receiving a phone call from his mother stating that she was having problems with him and that she knows that he's using drugs, he was mean and angry and sweating all the time, being very disrespectful, and that she knows when he's not using drugs, he's nice and sweet. On 10-3, Corps Officer Romo received another call from his mother stating that she arrived after 6 p.m. and noticed all of her son's things were gone from his room. And she was asked if he was living there. She stated no. She stated that he was using drugs, he'd be gone all night, sleep for days, stated that he needed help with this, and that he was not willing to answer him. She also stated that his brother fired him from the job due to him using. Jill stated she was giving him a call. That's when she made contact with him, directed him to drop a UA. He failed to drop a UA. On 10-22, the parole officer left a report instruction letter for the offender at his address with obviously no response. So the last contact he had with his PO was on 10-5, where he told his PO he was clean. She told him to drop. He never dropped. That was past communication.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Turner. So, Mr. Lynch, did you receive the letter that was dated the 22nd of October asking you to come in?
No.
So that would have been delivered to the 2865 South Quinn Drive, to your residence. And at that point, your mother had said that you had moved out, taken all your stuff and moved. Is that when you went to Community Bridges?
Exactly.
Right, but sir, there's no indication in the file, there's no indication that you ever contacted your parole officer.
I did. I had talked to her, and I had intended on calling her when I got there. That was the discussion that we had, that I would call her when I got there. And like I said, they didn't allow me to use the phones.
You actually talked to your parole officer? You didn't just leave a voicemail?
No, I talked to her, yes.
And which parole officer was that?
Romo.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you, sir. I'm going to see if my fellow board members have any questions. Anyone have a question for Mr. Lynch? Okay. Mr. Lynch, we're coming up toward the end of your hearing, and I want to give you the opportunity, if there's anything else you've thought of while we're talking that the board should consider, just without repeating something you've already told us. Is there anything else?
I mean, at this point, no, there's no.
Okay, Mr. Lynch. Thank you. The board is going to go into discussion. And we do our discussion in public under the Arizona Open Meeting Law. So just stay on the phone and just remain silent, and we'll be right back with you, sir.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. The board is now in discussion. Mr. Lynch was out, and it sounds like he was doing okay. I'm a little confused by the suddenly him checking himself into Community Bridges and saying that he had a conversation with his parole officer, but it's just not documented in the file, and I think something like that would be documented in the file, ordinarily. So I'm a little confused about that. He had a previous period of community supervision where he absconded, so knew the consequences of not staying in touch. And as he said, if he was at Community Bridges and he couldn't use the phone, I understand that. But nonetheless, it's his job to stay in touch with his parole officer. So I'm not seeing him as a good candidate to return to community supervision. He'll be out very soon. It's February 8th anyway. I think his best bet is just to finish his time. But if I see no other comments, okay, I'm going to make a motion. And based on information warrant 2018W3200, and a conversation with Mr. Lynch, information from Mr. Turner, I move to revoke community supervision as Mr. Lynch was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of community supervision, and had lapsed or was about to lapse into criminal ways or company, specifically by absconding for 61 days, during which time his parole officer couldn't monitor his activity.
Second.
Motion by myself, seconded Mr. Johnson.
Agreed
by Mr. Quinones, Mr. Neal, Mr. Dr. Wright. Okay, Mr. Lynch, the board has voted to revoke your community supervision. It's hard to overlook 61 days of you disappearing. Kind of violates the spirit of community supervision. However, we're showing you a release date of February 8th, at which time, after that, you won't have community. Your obligation to the criminal justice system is done, sir. So we certainly hope that this is the last time we'll see you. We certainly, you know, not that we don't like you, but I'm sure you don't like wearing the orange either. So we wish you the best and for a successful transition. Just take the next couple of weeks and try to plan, figure out where you're going to live, what you're going to do, and we wish you the best, sir. Thank you very much for being so respectful in your hearing today. And this will end your hearing, sir. Thank you. If you, maybe let your CO3 know, just lay the phone down and let your CO3 know that you're done so we can sign off. Thank you, sir.
All right, thank you.